everybody. Welcome in for another episode of Vol Club Confidential, sponsored by Knoxville Smiles. We hope you enjoyed Coach Vitello's look back at that championship run in our season premiere last week. This week we have Tennessee running backs coach Darrell Sims, but before him, we bring in Will Crockett of the Volunteer Club. And Will, first home game coming up this weekend. The season's finally here. Fall camp is finally over, thank goodness, and we can turn to real football at Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, like everybody else in the Southeast, but primarily Tennessee, we're fired up for football season. Ball club's obviously going to have a big presence there on campus, so tailgate's going to be ready to go. We have some new things planned for everybody. Always want to make it bigger and better.
The app has obviously been something we talked about last week with Hunter. It is a big deal.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a one-stop shop. I mean, you can find all the videos we do of VolQuest. You can find Eric Kane Locked on Vols. You can find, you know, Josh Pate and what he does. I mean, you can find a little bit of everything along with Vol Club Confidential every episode right here for season three, or look back at season two or season one.
Yeah, so I mean, the big thing with the app is we want to find ways to engage our members, but then all Tennessee fans on a daily basis. So it's a way for them to come in and see what's going on with the ball, so all the content. So after we get a big win on Saturday, you're searching for content. You want to, you know, kind of keep off that high from the game. So we have a way for them to come see you, to come see things from Josh Pate, things from around the country, what we're doing behind the scenes with players and coaches, for them to come and just continue their ball fandom. And then the best part about it is they get rewarded for everything that they do. So we have daily games in there. They get points for watching the content, doing different stuff. Then you take those points, you can convert it into merchandise that we're wearing that we have here. So anything like that.
How many points is Vol Club Confidential worth? It should be worth a million.
Well, for you, we can probably make that happen. I don't know if that's going to help or not, but we can give it a shot.
And when Hunter Bedour's on this show, it's worth 50 cents.
Yeah, I think we would probably deduct points with Hunter, but we can do our best. We'll see.
We love Hunter. He's not here this week, but he'll be back here soon. As for Knoxville Smiles, our great sponsors, Dr. Malone, Dr. Costa, and everybody over there, here's more on them.
Knoxville Smiles, depend on us to make your smile better. Knoxville Smiles, are you happy with your smile today? Knoxville Smiles, we're all about smiles.
Hey Lance, what makes you smile?
Pancake blocks.
Doing great.
Coach Sims, you get here to Rocky Top, kind of a whirlwind right there, you know, in the month of February. What was that like, you know, when you first got, you know, the interest from Tennessee? Mm-hmm. Kind of take me through those initial phone calls.
I was on my way to Ohio High School Coaches Clinic in Columbus, which all the high school coaches in Ohio go to. So I was driving a car, and the first call I get was from Kelsey Pope, asking was I interested in the job, and I said yes. And then he told me that Coach Halsey would be reaching out to me later on that night. And then I got a text message from my old head coach, Mike Houston, at East Carolina, that Coach Hype had reached out to him, wanted to do some background information. So that's when I kind of knew it was real. So the first initial phone call from Coach Halsey was that night around 8 o'clock. I'm sitting in PF Chains eating because I hadn't eaten all day. And then we talked, and then he told me he'll be back in touch with me the next day, which was on Friday. And get the call about Friday around lunchtime and told me they wanted me to interview Saturday morning at 9. And I left directly from the clinic, went back to my office and made sure my stuff was right. And then it was on and popping from there on Saturday.
I remember when we talked on the phone for the first time, like, mm-hmm. you didn't want to put the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. Right? You're like, I don't even want to think about it. I've not even looked at the room. Yep. I don't know what they have. You were making the decision based off of Tennessee, the trajectory, mm-hmm. the tradition, not off, you know, kind of who Tennessee had in the room, yep. just based off, you know, you were just, because you didn't want to get too far ahead of yourself.
No doubt.
Why not let your mind go there?
I think it's just the way I kind of been raised. Taking one step at a time, let things come to you the way it's supposed to. Focus on doing the best that you can do at the job you've got at the moment. And at that moment, it was getting ready for the interview. I feel like I did everything that I could to put myself in a position to have a shot at the job, and it worked out in my favor, which I was thankful and blessed for. But I had been in this situation before too, to where I kind of started envisioning myself and put myself in them rooms, and it didn't happen yet. So with this one, I had a piece about it from the beginning, and I knew that it was going to work out the way that it was already written, and it did.
That answer leads into my next kind of observation slash question. You are a part of a group text with a bunch of running backs coaches, mm-hmm. and it's like a faith-based text. It's mm-hmm. inspirational stuff, quoting scripture and stuff every yep. morning. And you're on this text with some guys that were up for this job. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of take me through that, because, I mean, I know you guys are buddies, and you're, yeah. you're sitting there, you know, just, you know, kind of spitballing ideas, mm-hmm. you know, each and everybody's room. But all of a sudden now you know who kind of your competition is yep. for this job. So, like, how is that? You remain friends, but probably like, I hope he doesn't get it up, but it gets to me.
You know what? It never came to that, because we always pull for each other. That's the thing about it. You know, we always try to help each other out in every way that we can, no matter if we're going after the same jobs, we're going after the same players, that don't matter. You know, at the end of the day, yeah, we're competitors, you know, at the same time, but we got to be uplifters as well. And I think that's where the whole brotherhood comes from in that text chain every morning.
Who started it? And then kind of take me through what it means to you, because I know you're a man mm-hmm. of faith. So, I mean,
so Locke started it. Coach Locke started it. And then he put in the group a lot of guys that he had a lot of trust in, a lot of guys that he felt did things the right way. And it means a lot, because at the same time, like, we always got to uplift each other. So that jumpstarts my morning, that it's not only him putting things in there. I may jumpstart the morning, or another coach may jumpstart the morning. You know, we all send up pouring into each other, because at certain times we need that. You know, you got those dark days that you go through, and you need something to kind of uplift your spirits, and you kind of go through your phone, look at the messages, and roll from there.
You guys kind of have similar kind of, you know, starting in the small mm-hmm. and kind of working your way up. I mean, you know, he was at Western Kentucky yep. and then, you know, Oregon, now at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You know, you've kind of went, you know, the directional Carolinas, mm-hmm. and, you know, mm-hmm. Western Carolina, East Carolina. Yep. You just need South Carolina someday, which is where
no,
you're
I'm
from.
Good. I'm good right here. I'm good right
I know
here.
I'm joking. I'm joking. I know I'm joking. But, like, you know, then you're at Louisville and Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. What is it about that, you know, your journey that, you know, you appreciate? Because, I mean, I feel like, you know, whether it be at Carson Newman, which mm-hmm. we'll talk on a little bit in a few minutes, but, I mean, just you've kind of just gradually climbed.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest deal, you know, being able to work my way up and being able to learn how to coach. You know, from the time 2009 when I was a student assistant coach at Pikeville, I've always had my own room. I've always had my own recruiting area. So I got a chance to learn how to coach. I got a chance to learn how to develop a process behind, okay, this is what I want my teach philosophy to be. This is what I want my teach progression to be. And be around some really good coaches. So, you know, I was blessed to coach on defense when I first started out. And then being able to transition to go coach tight ends in my first job out of college. And then, you know, being back at home at the running back spot, the rest of my career has been really, really good. But I think doing it the way that I did it, I didn't miss a step. You know, I think I took the proper steps in terms of, okay, I got to work my way up. I started in NAIA Division II, FCS, G5, Power 5. And you get a lot of appreciation. And you meet a ton of people along the way, too, that are really, really good people and then really, really good coaches.
What coach? What position did you coach on defense?
Linebackers.
You ever tell Ange, I got this better than you?
A couple times when we go goal line tackle and we got crossover work.
By the way, Coach Ange, if you ever see him, the man's got the biggest hands.
Mm-hmm.
Those things, I remember shaking hands with Arnold Palmer one time, and he had big mitts, and you just like kind of engulfed your hand.
Yep.
Ange is the same way. Like those things are – he gets up there, and he's very talky with his mm-hmm. hands when he meets the media, and I'm just like, good Lord, those yep. things are huge. What is it that you enjoy most about the coaching in general?
The relationships, number one, that you develop with your players. Those are relationships that last forever. Like, I had a ton of my players get married over the last 3 years. And getting those texts and those calls of, Coach, I'm thinking about proposing. And I sit up here and say, all right, you need to practice getting down on that knee, because it ain't as easy as you think it is. And just, you know, being there, like, every job that I've had has been a calling. And I've been placed in that situation for a reason. Because it's certain things that young men go through that – I can help them out with, the things that I went through, whether that's losing a parent, how to deal with, you know, worry and stress at times, and being able to see them develop and grow every day, like grow from year to year. That's kind of like one of my proudest moments is you see a guy come in as a freshman and then you get an opportunity to see him graduate as a senior or a junior, and all his dream goals and aspirations that he talked about when you were recruiting, it comes to fruition. So that's been memorable.
When you were a player, I'm sure you had coaches that pushed you, and maybe mm-hmm. you were like in the time, like, this coach drives me nuts. And then, like, as you get older, you understood what he was trying to do. And so then when you see him when you're older, it's more of a like, oh, man, I love to see coach, right? Have you become that guy now for these older players? Have you become that guy where you're like, I'm not saying like you're hard to play for because I don't think that's the case at all, but like that guy where you like, where you're like, oh, coach, and you see their face light up because they've not seen you in a while.
Yeah, it does. I'm kind of still, I haven't reached that age limit yet to where it's like.
Yeah, you're not old.
Hey, coach is like daddy coach. No, I'm still like the brother. So yeah, when they see me, man, we have a really good time and you know, we enjoy each other's company and, you know, it's a lot of guys that we still got a text thread together as well, that we wish each other luck, you know, on the weekends. And like when I got this job, my phone exploded from a lot of my former players, about, I knew that time period was coming and I've always had like Andy Hibbitt played for me at Carson Newman.
Yep.
Andy Hibbitt, from the time he sit in the room at Carson Newman, always say, coach, at some point in time, you're going to be coaching in Tennessee. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. So Andy kind of already spoke this into existence a long time ago. And he's one of the ones I stay in contact with a lot. So it's been a blessing.
Andy's very prevalent back at his alma mater in Gibbs. Got another kid on the way, I believe.
Yep.
So, I mean, like, you know, he's big out there in Coryton. What did you learn about East Tennessee when you were at Carson Newman?
Number one, when game day hit on Saturdays, everybody came to Rocky Top and everybody came to Neyland Stadium. Even like you could just feel it on Saturdays. Even when I was coaching at Carson Newman, you kind of understood like the tradition, you know, what was expected every week, week in and week out. And even coaching at a smaller level, it was one of them deals like, man, I want to feel that. And even having the opportunity to come over here from Western Carolina when we played here in 2015, it was one of them situations to where, like, all right, you understand the passion of this fan base. You understand what it means when you walk into that stadium. Like, it's going to be a dogfight for four quarters. And it was one of them deals that you just want to be a part of. But I think, like, being over here at Carson Newman for that season I was here, like, high school football is really, really good in the state. And being able to go out and recruit in this state was beneficial to me from that standpoint. And I think the biggest deal is, like, you know, coaching for Coach Sparks, you learn how to do a lot. But it was more about how to holistically develop a player. I think that was the number one deal. Like, everybody looks at Coach Sparks for all the wins and stuff that he had, but, like, holistically how he developed the players, how he developed his coaches was something that I took, you know, great pride in.
Best thing about Jefferson City is what? What comes to mind when I say Jefferson City?
When you say Jeff City, the first thing I think about is Carson Newman. The second thing that I think about is the McDonald's that sits right there on the corner before you get to campus, because every day – now, I didn't make any money back then. So my lunch was the Dollar Menu Chicken Club and a large sweet tea.
Are you telling me you didn't go to Pals? Is this real?
At that point in time, I didn't have enough money, too. I didn't go to Pals at that point in time. But I was living every day at freaking McDonald's. And that's the reason why I don't drink sweet tea today, because I was drinking the 32 ounce every day. So I had to wing myself off of sweet tea. But it was good.
You're from, you know, over in South Carolina, the Beacon Drive-In.
Yep.
What was your go-to?
Double chili cheese aplenty with a sweet tea at that point in time when I was drinking sweet tea. So my dad used to take me and my brother there on the weekends. We would go to the flea market, and then we would end up at the Beacon. When I was younger, I couldn't finish the whole plate. But by the time I got to junior high, the whole plate was mine with all the fries and onion rings, and I could finish with everything. So that was kind of like those fond memories. Then the Panthers used to come to training camp over there, and they would come over there and eat at the Beacon. So it's a lot of fond memories that I got of that place. I can't go there now, though. It don't agree.
Doesn't agree with the stomach?
No. It don't agree. It's too much grease now. Too much grease.
So you never take the kids there?
Yeah, they go eat fries, though. You know, I can take them there, and they can eat fries, and I can just sit back and relax, and I ain't got to stress about eating too much.
You're a lot closer, and you've been close at different points in your career, different stops, but you're a lot closer to family now.
Yep.
How nice is that?
That is huge. Not just for me, it's really huge for my wife, because now she can go and be around her circle. You know, we get married in 2018, and I'm coaching at JMU. And she moves to JMU at the time. And, you know, that's the furthest she's ever been around, been away from her village. She was 6 hours, almost 7 hours away. So then we leave in 2019 and go to East Carolina, where we're still 6 hours away. And then 2021, we leave and go to Louisville. Well, we're 6 and a half away and we got kids now. So for her being able to get home when she wants to, like she can get up in the morning and she's at home by noon, and you know, her mom can get up here, my mom can get up here, and they've seen the grandkids now in the last 3 months than they have and since the time that they were born in 2020. So it's like, that's the apple and the cherry on top of it that makes it really, really good.
How much are you enjoying the dad aspect right now?
It's good.
I mean, your kids are to an age where they're becoming fun.
Oh, yeah. It's good. It's I think the biggest deal is that you see yourself in each one of them, and you be like, everything I put my parents through, now y'all trying to put me through. So yeah, I guess it's payback. But it's good. And I think the biggest deal is like my kids, man, they enjoy, like they always talk about Big Orange. So they love being able to come over to the stadium, come over to the facility. Like, you know, seeing them being able to experience this as well has been something that's been a huge blessing.
We got the season upon us right here.
Yep.
Do they realize what's about to happen?
As far as
like, I mean, like just what the stadium's going to look like, what game day is going to look like?
That they don't. So this will be the first time of being in the stadium, and it is loud and seeing the orange. And so they'll be really, really excited. I think the littlest one, she'll be a little bit taken aback at first, and then she'll be all in. So
I think, let me tell you what I find really helpful in those instances is pulling up YouTube. Like anytime you're doing something, like, you know, even if you're taking your kids to, you know, Disney World, mm-hmm. you know, showing them what it looks like,
yep.
you know, on YouTube allows them to kind of feel it. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that kind of lets them know what to expect a little bit. You can't replicate the environment, but you show what it's going to look like.
Yep.
Who's been your biggest influence?
My college coach, Matt Bryan, has been one of my biggest influences. He saw in me when I was a player, knew I was going to be a coach. And had the plan kind of laid out for how he wanted to develop me at that point in time. And so he's been one that's been huge for me. Mike Clowney, who used to be the head coach at Carson Newman, has been a huge influence in terms of, you know, a spiritual advisor. He was a guy that grew up in my hometown of Union, you know, was an All-American at Carson Newman, was an all-conference player, all-region player when we were in high school. And he kind of modeled the way for – you know, guys coming from Union, South Carolina and going off to college. And even though he played small college football, kind of, you know, jumped into the coaching game and did a phenomenal job. So those two, and then my high school coach, Billy Jack Moore, who I still talk to this day. At that point in time, like when I was playing for him in high school, you know, you got that love-hate relationship. And I tell my players today, I say, we're still doing some of the drills that I did as a high school player because it worked. He's been one that, you know, he's up in his 80s now, but, you know, if I pick up the phone and call him, now I got to be prepared for a 2-hour conversation because he's going to talk and talk and talk. But every single place I've went and coached at, he's always come to a game. So that's something that means a lot to me and something that I hope that I can, you know, pour into my players as well and can do the same thing for them in the future.
Who's the person you hear most from?
Coach Moore and Coach Clowney. So I talk to Coach Clowney probably twice a week. You know, at night when I'm driving home, talk to him. He's not working for FCA over in Johnson City. And then Coach Moore, I hear from him or his daughter at least once a month. So, and then Coach Brian, he's a high school coach in Georgia now. So we get a chance to catch up, you know, in the times that he's not busy, but usually we shoot each other a text.
What makes you smile?
Seeing my kids happy, to be honest with you. Seeing my kids happy and them being able to go out here and have fun and watching them grow up. And then seeing my players be successful. You know what I'm saying? Seeing them go out here and the first time that they do something, they might not do it to the way that they expected it to be. But then when they get it and you see that reaction on their face and that smile that comes when you go back and watch tape, that portion of it is worthwhile.
Now more from our friends at Knoxville Smiles.
I'm Tennessee basketball player JP Estrella. Let me give you a tour here of the offices at Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Costa is placing implants with a robot and it's all done digitally. There's no guessing with this since it's all robotic. Dr. Wilco is the newest addition to the office. He loves to research the latest and greatest in technology, so the other doctors go to him for the newest product information and techniques. Dr. Malone is building teeth in the mouth. To him, cosmetic bonding is more like artwork. He does this without cutting your teeth down. It's all about building them up.
Guys, we still have a problem. Y'all have a bigger chair?
Each week, we will take a question from the Volunteer Club app. So if you can get those questions in, this week we'll ask Coach Sims. The question comes from Aiden.
Hey, Coach, this is Aiden. What's your favorite thing about living in Knoxville so far?
Knoxville got a lot of really good things that I like. One is the weather. Two is being able to go on the river, go tubing, which I don't do a lot because I can't swim, but I put that life jacket on and go. Yeah, I can't swim. Two is being able to go to Calhoun's and enjoy being able to eat. And I love fried fish, and Calhoun's got really good fish and ribs. So it's a lot of really good things that Knoxville brings to the table.
That's simply not true, Darrell.
No, like, it is true.
You can swim because you kind of got thrown in the deep end when you got here. And you learned to swim. It may not be water swimming.
Oh, yeah.
But you were swimming when you got here. I think any coach that enters into the mix in February,
yeah.
I mean, like you're kind of, it's from a recruiting standpoint, you're like mid-cycle. Tennessee already had one committed. I know we can't talk names. We already had one committed for this cycle. And then you're trying to fill out the rest, right? Yep. Whereas like the 26 class, you're going to have a full year building. It's kind of like Coach Abelin. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of had, was where you were a year ago.
Yep.
And then in year two, you know, has benefited greatly from a year-long relationships.
Yep.
You know, is that kind of how you feel like this thing's going from a recruiting standpoint?
I think, yes. You know, recruiting always is changing, you know, and evolving. I think you got to keep up with it. I think you know, a lot of times, like, getting hired in February, like, you kind of lean on your pre-existing relationships and kind of roll from there, and then you playing speed dating as well.
It is,
and trying to play catch-up and see how fast you can get to know somebody and they can get to know you. So I think recruiting from now on is kind of going to be one of them deals that's in hyperspeed just a little bit. So,
what's one thing that you learned about Coach Heupel since you came on staff?
He's highly competitive. He is highly competitive now, like, and I mean at everything. So that's the one thing. You kind of get that sense about him. You know what I'm saying? When you're watching the games. Now, I had the opportunity to compete against him when they were at Central Florida and I was at East Carolina. So you could see the competitive nature then. So that portion of it, and then understanding that he's a really good person and he wants the best for everybody in the organization. And he's going to push everybody in the organization to achieve their dreams, goals, and aspirations. So those are kind of some things that kind of stick out to me in that mind.
I'll tell you what sticks out to me is like, all coaches have egos when it comes to calling plays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you feel like you can develop as well as anybody. He feels like he can call an offensive play as well as anybody. But once you take off the field, that guy has no ego at all.
No.
Like, he's the most approachable head coach from anybody in the area that I've ever seen.
Yep.
Like, you just a regular guy.
Yep. No doubt about that.
And you're kind of the same way.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, now, I get between them white lines, it'd be a little bit different. But, you know, you always got to be highly competitive between them white lines, so.
What is it you like most about your room?
Man, how they are connected, how they push each other. That's the thing. Like, every single player in that room loves one another, number one, but they want to see each other do well. Now, they highly competitive, too. You know, they don't want to let, you know, the next guy in the room outdo them, and they're continuing to compete with each other from that standpoint. But the way they connected, there is no selfishness in that room. You know, there's no ego in that room. And they're continuing to push each other. And that's from the young guys all the way to the older guys. So it's a really, really tight-knit unit.
What do you think the perception of the Tennessee running back room is right now? I know you probably don't care, but what do you think it is?
I think that it's just that it's young right now. You know, young and you know, you got one older guy in the room that's played a lot. And you got some guys that everybody ready to see what happens, which is good. You know, you like being the underdog a little bit.
Everybody loves the backup quarterback, right? Or everybody loves the young freshman.
Yep.
Well, your group's going to have that chance to play a lot of those young guys, inexperienced guys.
No doubt about it. So we just got to make sure we get them ready.
Do you like the versatility in your room? Because, like, I think every running back's kind of different. Like, Samson's different than Bishop. Bishop's different than Cam. Cam's different than Peyton Lewis. Like, you don't have, like, a cookie-cutter room.
No, and I think that's really good because now you're giving defenses different things to prepare for so that you're not going into the game and you just got one pitch all game. Now you got different curveballs and different changeups that you can throw at them, which is good. Because now they got something like, you know, they may be getting sliced up at one point in time, but then next thing you know, you got a power runner coming at you. Then next thing you know, you got a combination of both. So you're keeping the defense on their heels, which is what we want to be able to do.
You went with a different sport analogy, so I'm going to go there now. If you weren't a football coach, what would be your sport?
The first sport I ever played was baseball.
Second base?
No, outfield. Because I got some jets a little bit. I used to.
I can believe that. I think you still do.
But my other sport would probably be track, to be honest with you, because I like the competitive nature of that as well. And being able to be out there and compete, because like when you're running 100, it's you versus seven other people.
Sure.
So now you have an opportunity to go out there and compete, and it's you versus you in that situation. So that probably would be my other sport if I didn't coach football.
What's one thing that most people don't know about Darrell Sims?
Ooh, let's see. One thing most people don't know. I like to read, for one. Leadership books. But I was a history political science major as well. So now I've kind of got hooked on the stock market. That's kind of been my new fame hobby. And I watch it a little bit too much on my phone in terms of seeing when it's red and when it's green.
Well, don't be watching lately. It's too up and down.
Ain't no doubt about it.
Looks like a Christmas tree.
No doubt. But that's kind of one of the new things, like, I've kind of got hooked on a little bit. It's kind of learning the behind the scenes and how it works and that type deal. So that's kind of my new infatuation.
So you're a big history guy?
No, I like the political aspect of the history political science more than the history portion. Because all them dates and stuff like that, like, I would try to remember.
Like, do you enjoy going to Washington, D.C.?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're a big monuments guy?
So when we were coaching at James Madison, me and my wife, we go up there on the weekends during the summers when we had some time off. So D.C. was a good little spot for us to be, because it was 2 hours away. So it was
favorite monument?
Of course, the Martin Luther King Monument. I'm a museum guy, too. So being able to go to the African American Museum was really, really good. Now, we messed up because we didn't go at the beginning of the day. We got there like at 3 o'clock and it closed at 5. So we didn't get to hit the whole deal. So that's one of the deals we got to go back and do.
My favorite stretch of monument is from Lincoln to the Korean War Memorial,
okay,
which my papa von Korea, to MLK. And then if you hug the lake there,
mm-hmm,
you got Franklin Delano, the FDR Memorial,
yep,
over to the Jefferson.
Yep.
So I love D.C. I could, especially at night.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I could. You take me up there to the monuments at nighttime. It's fantastic.
Yeah. You just gotta be careful a little bit, but it's good.
You do. Head on a swivel.
Hey, ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt.
That's why I've been learning some of those drills. You put them over there underneath the chute and the,
yep,
sleds and
working on their pad level. Working on their pad level.
It works out when you're in D.C.
Hey, no doubt. No doubt.
Favorite holiday?
Thanksgiving. Because, like, growing up, you know, in South Carolina, all my family got together on Thanksgiving. And it wasn't like Christmas when, you know, you're a little kid, you worry about what you're getting.
Sure.
You know, and you go see your aunties and you kind of like, oh, you didn't give me nothing, but they give you socks. But Thanksgiving is a time where everybody just come home and have a chance to get together and fellowship and catch up. And that's something that when you get older and you have kids and you kind of realize, like, the things that you took for granted when you were growing up, because you felt like it would always be there. And especially now, like, coaching, Thanksgiving weekend, shoot, that's rivalry week.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I ain't going home then, and ain't nobody coming up here. I got business to do. But it's one of them situations that's always been really good.
Do you try to replicate having the running backs over to your house at Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm,
for what you had as,
yep,
a kid?
Yep, I do. That's something that, you know, the last...
Do you do any cooking?
I can grill.
Okay.
But my wife does the cooking. So she do a good job from that standpoint.
What's your go-to if you're going home and the family, mm-hmm, is making a meal,
yep,
or your wife's making a meal,
yep,
and you get to select the menu, what are we going with?
Macaroni and cheese, candy yams, barbecue chicken, and then Jiffy cornbread.
Jiffy cornbread?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I listen, that old school cornbread ain't for me. I need Jiffy. So
I love that. What is your go-to meal in Knoxville? We've already established you like Calhoun, so take,
yeah,
that off the table. What else?
Shoot. My go-to meal. Celestina's, Mexican restaurant right down the street from my house. The taco burritos are kind of my go-to. That's my go-to meal. So
is that something you pick up on the way home at times?
Oh, yeah. Because I can call it in and it'll be ready by the time I get home, so it's...
You're like,
it's efficient.
It's Sims.
And that's the crazy part about it. They know my order when I walk in the door now. That's the crazy part about it. I guess I've been there too much.
Yeah, I've got plenty of places. I go into walk-ons, and they know exactly. Like, and the problem is at walk-ons, there's like 10 waitresses, mm-hmm, that know what I get. Like, I'm like, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
I like what I like.
Yep.
All right, we're going to try something. We did this last season. Who's the one person in your phone that, besides your wife,
mm-hmm.
that if you call, you know they'll pick up?
My mama.
Let's try her. Let's see if she answers. Let's see if mom comes through.
She probably will. And probably worry about what's going on. Why am I calling?
Why are you calling on in the middle of camp?
Yep.
I'll put her on speaker. Let's hear her.
Nah, she don't pick up. That's going to be embarrassing. Nah, she may have my little nephew. Hey.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
You said she was going to wonder what was wrong.
Yeah.
We're taping a podcast, Mama Sims, and I asked him who's the one person besides your wife that if you call them, you know they'll answer. He said you.
Well, yeah. When it comes to my children and my grands and everybody, I'm on it. I want to hear from them and make sure they all right. Yeah.
Can we count on you up here for a game this fall at Tennessee?
Well, I will be there. If I can get there, I'll be there. I sure will.
Have you bought her orange?
Thank you for everything mm-hmm. you're doing for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're welcome. Well, you have a good night, okay?
You do the same. Thank you.
See
you.
Right. Nah.
Mama Sims coming through in the clutch.
Mm-hmm. Now, she had me sweating for a minute.
She did.
Yeah, because I was like, she ain't going to answer the phone.
But she came through.
Yep.
You bought her a bunch of orange? Does she have a bunch of orange now?
She had a bunch of orange in the beginning. You know, orange is one of them colors that she likes. Now, what I had to tell her was different types of orange. So I had to get her the right Tennessee orange. So that portion of it, we got that taken care of.
I hear you. What's your goal? What do you want to happen in your coaching career? I mean, we talk about the climb.
Yeah.
Where's the climb going?
You know, it's kind of like you got the process that you kind of go through and you attack. At some point in time, I want to have the opportunity, you know, to be a play call on offense. Had the opportunity to be a head coach and be able to run my own organization, no matter if that's college, NFL, you know, whatever comes next. But, you know, the goal right now is – to number one, make my guys to be the best players that they can be and be the most efficient and the most effective in terms of what we're trying to get done as a whole entire team. And then whatever happens in terms of with my career, that's already written. All I can do is keep my head down and keep working. And it's going to come the way that, you know, everything else has came so far. So,
biggest takeaway you've had from coaching here is what? I mean, you've only been here 5-6 months, but what's the biggest takeaway you have to this point?
The passion. Like, you kind of see from the outside, you know, how passionate this fan base is until you get on the inside. And, like, I remember walking into the basketball arena when the basketball team played Auburn, and I was like, oh, my God. And then going to the baseball games and the spring game, like, you feel the
passion. And you haven't even got to the Neyland yet.
Ain't no doubt. Like, well, I experienced that, but I was on the wrong side.
Side, yeah.
But it's the passion of the fan base and how everybody's down to earth. And you know, everybody wants to see this team and program be successful. You know, that's the thing that stands out to you the most.
You're going to go down Peyton Manning Pass. You're going to hang a left on Philip Fulmer on the Vol Walk
mm-hmm.
for the first time. Because as you're right, as an opposing, they just bust you right mm-hmm. under the entrance, you know, the South Tunnel. You going to take that in? Like, are you going to, like, because, I mean, like, I know, like, it's all business. You're going to, you know, well, you look around and go, good grief.
You got to take it in. You know, I think looking forward to the Vol Walk and then looking forward to running out that tee. Like, you see it on TV, but now I'm like, it's going to be a little bit different when you actually are sitting there doing it. So those are things that, like, from a memory standpoint, like, that's a bucket list type item. You know, everybody don't get those opportunities. So when you get it, you got to kind of live in the moment for a little bit. So,
as a coach, what uniform combination you like most?
I'm a traditional guy, so I'm going white helmet, orange jerseys, white pants.
Do you like the white helmet? Like, you know what I mean? Like, not many teams have white helmets.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it just pops more.
It does.
The tee pops more.
It does. It does. Like, me growing up, being able to watch Tennessee, like, when I was little, like, that's what you saw. Like, back when it was Adidas, that's what you saw. You know what I'm saying?
Adidas,
like,
yeah.
It was, it just stood out to you, caught your attention. So, yeah, that's kind of my favorite combination.
What Tennessee running back have you met that you wanted to meet or you want to meet that you've not met?
You know what? I met Jamal Lewis, had an opportunity to meet him.
And he still looks like he could get it.
He really does. I asked him, did he have a couple carries left in him, and we could put him back there because nobody want to tackle him today.
Nobody wants to wear 31 today. I do know that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those were the days, 33, 31, 24. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants those numbers.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, that was when I was young and growing up and being able to watch the game, like, you know, you saw him. You know what I'm saying? And then seeing him go on and do what he did in the NFL with the Ravens and win the Super Bowl, that was one of them deals. It was like, I even remember watching him when he was coming out of high school when it was the Countdown to Signing Day TV show.
Jamie Newberg.
Yep, because I played in high school with Roscoe Crosby, so he was on that show. That's what kind of got everybody kind of enamored with it. And then, you know, being able to meet, you know, Jamal Lewis in person, that was really, really good.
For you, what's the perfect scenario this season?
Number one, staying healthy. Number two, being able to sit up here and go out here and compete for championships. But you got to put that process in every day too. And I think that's the thing about it. Like, our guys are hungry. You know, they don't take days off. They sit up here and attack every day. But at the same time, they love each other too. And they push each other in the right way, which is something that – the championship teams that I've been blessed to be a part of, that connectivity portion of it, that's what they all had. So hopefully we continue to keep trending in that direction.
Well, Coach Simmons, man, we appreciate you coming down on the show tonight, and good luck the rest of the way, okay?
I appreciate you.
Coming in, man. Appreciate you.
We'll see.